All right, so I want you to turn to your Bibles this morning, and we're continuing in our series of the Lord's Prayer, and the segment we're going to talk today, which you know very well, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So that's where we're at today, and I want you to turn to Matthew 6, verse 12. That verse speaks about what I just read you, the title of this message this morning, and then we're going to read a little bit from Matthew 18, and if you can remember far enough back, you know that this is a parable that I actually preached on, I think, here sometime after the first of the year. And then we're going to read a little bit about out of the Heidelberg Catechism. And then we're going to read a little bit about the canons of Dort. How many of you know what the canons of Dort are this morning? Nobody? There's a few. All right, we see a few hands going around back there. So the canons of Dort was a work that was done in Dorchester, in England, at the time, I believe. But it's a wide range of things that it covered theologically, and that is one of the faith standards that we have that we use in the RCA. You got the Heidelberg Catechism, you got the Canons of Dort, you got the Belgic Confession, and then the Belhar, and we got the creeds. And so this is one of those main points. And so if you have your outline with you this morning, flip that over, and we'll get to that after we read scripture this morning. Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgiven our debtors. And then also verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I'm going to throw verse 15 on there this morning, just for our knowledge here. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's a pretty straightforward statement this morning. So that's what our message will be based upon. Now I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant, or we could say unforgiving servant, would be another way that we could use this passage as well, and that's the context we'll have it this morning. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The word of the Lord. Now turn with me to your outline, the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 126. What does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. And then from the Canons of Dort, the fifth main point of doctrine, which the title is, The Perseverance of the Saints. Article 3, God's preservation of the converted. So when you hear that, God's preservation of the converted is those who have given their life to Christ. That's you and I. And here's what it says. Because of these remnants of sin dwelling in them, and also because of the temptations of the world and Satan, those who have been converted could not remain standing in this grace if left to their own resources. But God is faithful, mercifully strengthening them in the grace once conferred to them, and powerfully preserving them in it to the end. Now, you're going to get more theologically. We'll get a little deeper here in a minute as we dig into the Word. And we'll bring more understanding to this article as well this morning. Janice, can you push my mic up just a little bit? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your name this morning, I pray and I ask for your presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may these words that I've prepared be your words. And I pray for those that have gathered here today that you fill them with that same Spirit. Lord, open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your message. In Jesus I pray, amen. Let me share a little story with you this morning. This comes from Chuck Swindoll. Most of you know Chuck as a great preacher as well. But he had run into a seminary student one time that was working in Chicago, and he faced a forgiveness test. So here's his story. Although this seminary student preferred to work in some kind of ministry, he couldn't find a job. And so the only thing that he could find was driving a bus on the south side of Chicago. Now, if you know that the south side of Chicago, I don't know how old this story is, but I'm assuming it's a few years old. You know that Chicago has been on the news again lately about the terrible things that have been going on there. So one day, as he's driving this bus, a gang of teens gets on the bus. And they refuse to pay the fee for the bus fee. A few days go by, and he picks this gang up every morning. He argues with them. They don't pay. They get off, da-da-da. Well, one morning, there's a police officer standing on the corner where this gang gets on. And so this seminary student gets off the bus. He goes, talks to the police officer. He says, this is what's going on. The police officer comes on the bus, and he demands that these gang members pay the fee. And they reluctantly, and they do it. The police officer gets off the bus. The seminary student rounds the corner, and the gang proceeds to beat the guy to a pulp on the bus. And they leave. And so this guy, he takes a few days to recover, and he goes to the police department. He makes his case, and he says, they beat me. I want to press charges against them. And they find the thugs. They haul them in. They go to this court trial, and it's getting to sentencing day. They're found guilty, these thugs are. And the seminary student's there. He's testified, yes, that's who they are. Those people beat me up. And the seminary student, once he hears the verdict, he has pity on their hearts. And he stands up in the courtroom and he says to the judge, and this is a real story, by the way, I want to serve their sentence. And the judge and those gang members were just in unbelief. Well, lo and behold, the judge said, I will not allow you to serve their sentence. And so instead, this seminary student created relationships with those gang members while they did their jail time. And he brought many of them to Christ through that process. So here's the point this morning. Forgiveness is a very powerful tool that we have in our lives. It can change people, as this story that I just told you did. Forgiveness is a very powerful Christian tool that you and I can use in the world we live in today. So let me just break this portion of this prayer down to you this morning. So there are two parts to this prayer that we're going to look at. First part, we ask God for forgiveness. Right? You guys know that. Forgive us our debts is what we pray to God. And then the second part of the prayer is the command that we have to forgive others in our lives. And so it's not just something we take lightly, but it's a command from God. And so we're going to look at these two things this morning. And so let's look at the first one. When we pray the phrase, forgive us our debts, it presumes that you and I have sin that we need to take care of. Right? Would you all agree with me that you and I have sin that we need to clean up in our life from day to day, that we encounter, that we pursue, the things that we might do, the things we left undone? We have those sins in our lives. And so more or less what we're saying to God in the prayer is that we're admitting to Him that we need to be forgiven, that we are not perfect before God. We need His forgiveness. And so this forgiveness petition is admitting that God is not done forgiving us either, nor are we done sinning. You will sin to the day that you die. There's nothing you can do about that. Now, I know you work hard at it, you try not to do it, and then you go to God and you pray this prayer and you ask God for forgiveness. So let's define what forgiveness means. I got a quote I'm going to share with you this morning. It comes from Stephen Westerholm. And this is what he says about forgiveness. Here's what he says. The act by which an offended party removes an offense from further consideration, thereby establishing a basis for harmonious relations with the offender. Now that's a big old term or word that I just read to you. Like, how do you understand that? So let me simplify that for you this morning. Look at this screen. Forgiveness means simply letting go, releasing from constraints, moving on, getting it worked out, come to some kind of reconciliation, be at peace with each other, no matter what you encounter or what you go through. That's forgiveness. Now, if you look at it deeper this morning, we'll discover that there are two challenges in this first petition that you and I need to better understand. And here's the first one I want to try to answer this morning. The challenge is, why does Matthew say that sin is debt? How many of you in here have Dutch roots? I know there's a few more of you out there. Okay, so a humorous point this morning, when they're writing this and Peter's asking God, the only thing I think of is he's trying to address the Dutch heritage in all of us when he talks about debt, because we think it's money, right? And us Dutch people, we're tight sometimes, and I thought, you know, maybe we could really relate to that word debt because we get it. You know, our Lutheran brothers and sisters, they use trespass and trespasses, and some other ones use sins and forgive others their sins and all that kind of stuff. But us Dutch going people, we use the word debt, right? Maybe because we understand that better, but I don't think that was Peter's point. But let me explain that to you this morning. Matthew compares this verse, 6 verse 12, to chapter 18 of the parable of the unforgiving servant that's rolling around in his mind. He's probably heard that. Now you're thinking, well, that's not in chronological order in the Bible, but Matthew probably already heard that story before it's written down, and he knew Jesus taught that. And so Matthew and Peter, they're talking, they're having this discussion, and they realize, oh, we get it. You told us that parable about the unforgiving servant, and sin is that way. It's a debt that we owe to God. And somehow we got to clean up this. Now, we know that a debt is, if we put it in financial terms, like a loan or something like that, that you and I have to repay that. And so debt is like a loan from God, that it's sin that we have to take care of. Somehow we need to work that out with God, that He forgives us for our sins. We need to clean that up. That's debt that we have in our lives. Every one of us has debt that we need to take care of with God in our lives. That's what Matthew wants us to understand. We owe something to God. And so we clean up this debt when we ask for forgiveness, and God works through you and I, through Jesus Christ on the cross, to forgive us that debt, that forgiveness. Now let me go on to the second challenge of this petition. This one's a little deeper for you to understand, and I really was intrigued by this past week as I put this together. Here's the second challenge. This hit home for me. If Christians already are forgiven by God in Jesus Christ, let me stop there for a moment. So when I give my Christ, when I give my life to Christ and you give your life to Christ, don't we have salvation right then and there? God forgives us our sins when I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And the answer to that is yes. But then why does Jesus want me, the second part of this, why did Jesus instruct his disciples, you and I, to regularly ask for forgiveness? If we've given our life to Christ and we've been forgiven, why should I ask for forgiveness every day in my life? Have you ever thought about that? Let's go a little deeper this morning. Is it a salvation issue if I've given my life to Christ? When you pray that prayer, does that mean that my salvation is on the line every day? And the answer is no, it is not. Because once you've been saved, you are in the eternal hand of God, never to be snatched away. That's the point. Now, I think I have the canons of Dort up there. How convenient that is. All right, so here's where we get this deeper understanding. As people were struggling with trying to understand this prayer, they're wondering, why do I got to ask for forgiveness every day in my life if I've been saved? And here's kind of some understanding of that. The perseverance of the saints. Because of these remnants of sin dwelling in them, so in them would be you and I, because we have this sin that tags along with us every day, all right, understand that. Because of the temptations of the world and Satan, those who have been converted, those who have been saved and given their life to Christ, could not remain standing because Satan wants to beat you up and take you out. All right, let's continue on. If left to their own resources, meaning living in the flesh, you and I can't do it. We've got to live by the Spirit. But God is faithful to us, those of us who have given our life to Christ, mercifully strengthening us in the grace once conferred to them, on them, excuse me, and powerfully preserving them to the end, till you and I are called home to heaven. Talks about that eternal security in Christ once you've given your life to Christ. All right? So now you're thinking, well, what do I need to ask for forgiveness for then every day? So here's another verse I'm going to throw at you today. John 13, verse 10. All right? Now you might understand this story. They're gathered in the room, Jesus with his disciples, and Jesus begins to wash their feet. And Jesus says this to them. When Jesus said to them, the one who has bathed does not need to wash. Meaning the one that has given his life to Christ, you are forgiven. And then Peter, you know, he's going to remark here in just a little bit. Let me finish this verse. Except for his feet, but it's completely clean. And Peter said, well, wash my whole body, God. I'm dirty. And Jesus said, you've already given your life to Christ, Peter. You don't need to be washed again. Just your feet are dirty. And see, what Jesus was trying to tell them was, is that you have the sin of living life from day to day that you need to clean up from time to time, that you can live in relation closer to your God in heaven and closer to those on earth. That's what Jesus was trying to tell Peter. That's what Jesus is trying to tell you and I. That little remnants of dirt that cling onto your heart from living life day to day need to be cleaned up so you can stay close to your Heavenly Father as you live this life, who strengthens you and who sheds his grace upon you from day to day to day till he calls you home. That's why Jesus said, ask for forgiveness daily, that you can stay well connected to the Father in heaven. Amen? That's what it's about. How many have ever thought of that prayer in that way? And you're a lot smarter than me, most of you are, so you say, yeah, I knew that a long time already. I learned that this week. When we say that prayer, what that actually means, and you just heard it. When you say that prayer, remember the story about Jesus washing their feet? He says, you don't need your whole body washed, just your feet. You just need to clean up the dirtiness of the day that's gone on in your life. Let me drive one more point home here today. Asking for forgiveness daily is not about our eternal salvation. You've already been saved. It's about renewing your daily life and drawing closer to God and strengthening your relationship with others. That's what your whole goal is. That's what needs to happen in your life. You're going to live a lot better life if you start doing these types of things. Have you ever had it at night when you've gone to bed and you know something's not right and you don't sleep well? You got things on your mind, something maybe you shouldn't have done or something you said, and you know, God says, clean that stuff up. Live a spiritually healthy life with others around you. That's what he wants us to do. All right, let's look at the second petition in this prayer, the second half of this prayer, as we also have forgiven our debtors. All right? Now, this is a little bit more work for us. This is a more challenging one. I want you to focus on the word as this morning. All right? It's written in Scripture that way as well. You know, it might be a transition, but this little word in this prayer has great theological implications that we need to understand. When we pray the second petition, what we're asking for is this. And if it's on your outline, I changed it a little bit on you this morning. I reworded this. And this is what it says. We wish for human-to-human forgiveness to look like divine forgiveness. So that prayer says, the second half of that petition, it works together with the first one. So more or less, the way that God forgives you and I, that's how we should forgive others. He's forgiven us a lot. We're dirty. We're stained. We're the ones that put Jesus on the cross. And he still says, I love you. I forgive you. And so that's the word as you say that prayer now, of what your forgiveness should be. And so if you were to rephrase this prayer in our own words, it might look something like this. Lord, forgive us our debts in the same way we forgive others. All right, here's the million-dollar question. You know, we should mirror God in our forgiveness. It should look the same. And so the question on the bottom of the screen is, how are you doing with that in your life? How's it working for you? Is it something you need to work on? Is it something you're doing well at? Is there something that you're not doing at all in your life? It's your challenge today. That's what you get to go home and work on throughout the week as you pray this prayer and you study this word this week. How are we doing with that in our lives? Are you mirroring Christ? Here's another point I want you to understand this morning, or I want to share with you. When you and I close our hearts to others, when we choose not to forgive someone for something that's gone on, we choose not to forgive someone. We also close our hearts to God. You have to be very careful with that. When you choose not to forgive someone, you close your heart to God. Now, you might think, well, does God not like me then? Does God not care about me then? See, it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with your heart and how you handle that situation. God hasn't left the building. God hasn't given up on you. But you close the door on God when you choose not to forgive someone. Remember that sin separates us from God? And you want that closeness. And that's where Jesus says, clean it up every day. God never excludes us. We choose to exclude God when we decide not to forgive others. The last verse in this parable that we read, if you have your Bible open yet, it's Matthew 18, verse 35, drives this point home this morning in this parable. And it says this, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." And you can go back and read what happened to that in that parable. That guy got thrown in jail and they tortured him till he could repay it. That's a picture of hell. That's what it is. Picture of hell. So we need to be careful with that. Forgiveness is a gift from God, but it comes with the expectation that you are also going to forgive others in your life. Have you ever heard this phrase, forgive and forget? Anybody heard that at all? Nobody has? Does anybody care anymore? Right, here, this is where the rubber hits the road right here, okay? Forgive and forget. There's things that you and I are going to encounter in this life. This is where it gets real, I think. Okay, does God really forget when I do something wrong? I don't have the answer to that question, but I do know that He forgives. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Can you forget somebody that's wronged you? Maybe you're going to say, well, depending on the situation. So here's some advice I'm going to give you this morning of forgiving and forgetting. Okay, the small trivial things in life that you're going to come across and somebody's going to like cut you off in Sioux Falls or they're hawking the horn at you, whatever it might be, let those things roll off your back. They're small, they're petty, they don't matter. Let it go, right? Some of us want to fight back and say this and that, right? Forget about those things. Forgive them and move on. But now let me ask you this question. What about the weightier things in life where you've had hard things come against you, they've hurt, and you don't want them to ever happen to you again? You can't forget those things. What are you going to do with those situations that you have in life? And I know you've had them, so have I. So here's what I want you to do with those weightier things that you've had happen in your life. I want you to think about these things. If you must remember them, there's a trick in how I want you to remember them that I want you to leave here this morning. We are not to remember these things in the spirit of hatred or revenge. You know, that person did me wrong. You just wait till I get even. See, that's not biblical. That's not how God wants us to remember and forgive. But here's how God wants you to remember these things. We must learn first to heal your memory that we live in a sinful world and bad things are going to happen to you and to I and our family and our neighbors and all that kind of stuff. You need to heal your memory by praying to God. You need to heal your heart by praying to God and asking God, please take that desire to be hateful or revengeful or whatever it may be away from you. And you need to remember those things with love. That's hard to do. But that's what forgiveness should look like according to the Word of God, that you remember those bad things with love. And you ask for forgiveness from God, and you ask for forgiveness or need to forgive someone in your life to clean those things up. Doesn't mean you're going to forget those things. You're not going to seek revenge, but you're going to love. It might mean that you might not do much more with this person, or you might protect yourself from letting that happen to you again, and that's okay. But do it in love. forgive, and move on. You'll forget some of the things, but some things you won't. Put them in the right frame of mind with Jesus helping you through those things. That's what forgiveness looks like. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors is not an easy prayer. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts.